south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. I got an email from a lady in Minnesota. I guess she must be ready to vote with her feet, or at least to leave the existing state she's in right now. She said, Johnny, are men in Latin America as addicted to porno as men here up in the States? Man, what a question. Guess she must have found her husband's password, huh? Well, not trying to speculate on what's happening in her life. Let's just go straight to the question. Well, being that Latin America is about 98% Christian, and I mean Christian. In fact, I'd say about 98% of middle and lower middle class homes you walk into have an actual shrine set up with statues and incense and prayer books, the whole works. Could, in fact, be a whole room set aside for that, or just a corner with a table, but they've all got them. And, you know, it's not for the men in the family. It's all about the women. And even more intense, I've been at some houses where every single room has a little mosaic tile, piece of art, if you want to call it that, depicting some kind of religious scene or saint or event from the Bible. And, you know, you could drive through Latin neighborhoods, even high-end communities, and alongside the entrance doors and addresses, you'll see the Christian influence. Occasionally, you'll see stenciled or set into the wall, where you might expect the mailbox or mail slot to be, religious statues, paintings, or ceramic mosaics, or even a glazed tile saint or scene from the Bible or the Stations of the Cross or whatever. And since this stuff's everywhere you look, you have to assume that the whole country or even all of Latin America is bathed in some kind of serene religiosity. But it ain't, especially judging by the fact that in every medium and large Latin American city, they've got your regular newspapers and they've got their sexy little low-class scandal and rag sheets. Sort of the Latin version of the National Enquirer or that British rag, The Sun, only much sexier. You can always spot them because they've got some scandalous news on the cover, and on the back sheet is a scantily clad young lady. It's a prelude or teaser to the 2 to 4 page spread inside the rag that offers a lot more. Now, it's not actual pornography as we think of it, but kind of more like the lingerie section in a Sears catalog, if you know what I mean. Yep, lag time again, huh? 30, 40 years maybe? Now, as far as porn on the internet here in Latin America, they say now only between 18 and 20% of Latins are connected daily on the internet with a computer. Of course, they all have moderately smart or even stupid phones that connect them to text mail and services like WhatsApp. That's huge down here now. That means about 80% of Latin America does not have enough download speed or memory or even screen size to download porn. Not in any significant way, unless, however, they're at work and have a computer station, like guys do up in the States, which is always an option and a risk. So yes, just like up in the States maybe 20 or 30 years ago, the internet down here is now kick-starting the porn industry. With Latin macho infidelity being the national sport, and spousal abuse and weekend boozing, along with other so-called sinful activities spelled out in the Bible, and every family's got 2 or 3 of those at home, it's still on surface a very, very conservative and Christian society. And as such, if you visit the average Latin's home, you will never see a Hustler or a Playboy or any kind of nudie magazine around at all. At least I never have. And I've been down here, 27 years now. That includes porn videos and CDs, unless you're talking exclusively about a Latin bachelor pad. And still, they'd never be in the open. They'd be well hidden. And you know, the vast majority of Latin guys who live at home, by the way, just wouldn't do it. Because mom, grandma, and the other ladies in the house would just freak out. Nope, not even a Playboy allowed. Something in the States these days that's considered innocent, even tame. By the way, it's rare that newlyweds in Latin America get their own house or apartment. They must always start out living at home with mom and dad and grandma and the extended family. Sometimes they end up living there forever. Anyway, it really appears that in the middle and lower middle classes anyway, the morality rules and standards are set by grandma, the matriarch. And she, most likely being born in the 40s or 50s, much like your own grandma up in Cleveland or Seattle, just wouldn't permit those kind of things. So Latin families and households have a few things that put the kibosh on porno, at least up to now anyway. They most likely don't have a solid internet connection. And number two, grandma's ruling the roost and she'll have none of it. And three, something I didn't mention yet, I've spoken to a number of young adolescent Latin guys. The fact is, even if they have a computer connection in the house, there's only one family computer connected to it. So there's a lot of computer sharing going on, and they'd never risk having a bunch of porn stacked up in their hard drive for their sisters, mothers, or whoever to see. But again, it's all about lag time, and that stuff is coming, you know. Especially since, like, you up in the States, they have 300 channels of cable TV, and you can buy a porn package at the local cable TV provider for around $6 to $10 a month. In addition, of course, to what you pay for basic cable. But, you know, since the average wage down here is maybe $300 to $400 a month, that's out of the range of most Latins. However, it's estimated that 30% or more of all cable in Latin America is stolen. Well, then, of course, the porno channels are stolen, too. As for buying cable TV legally, and the extra packages like sports and HBO and the porno pack, only about 10% of Latins have the means to buy into it. That means upscale gringo wannabes. However, as one salesman for the biggest cable TV provider in Latin America told me, that would be Claro TV, owned by that smiling sir, though, Carlos Sim, he told me that many, many people want to get it, but they're too embarrassed to sign up. And you know, I get all that. I went to Catholic school, so I have got my honorary master's degree in guilt. I can see how it can be very embarrassing for any devout hypocrite to sign up in front of all those people. Especially if it's a woman salesperson waiting on you. By the way, Latin guys that are into some kind of porn have a solid, if not fanatic, preference for, guess what? Blonde-haired, blue-eyed, light-skinned gringas, of course. Yes, ladies, it's the not-so-nice side of your gringa advantage. But what can I tell you? That's the way it is. That email came from Betty in Minnesota. By the way, a Latin friend of mine who plays a very mean guitar. He's a rich kid, has a bachelor pad, dad owns a cement company. He has the cable porno pack. He said he's not embarrassed. What's to be embarrassed about? He said when he got his cable at the cable company, he just said, give me everything. Give me the works. And, you know, he never even had to mention the porno pack. Yep, down here, the world of the entitled rich kid is, well, like that. That said, a while back, I got an email from a Canadian listener asking me pretty much the same thing about porno in Latin America. She sent me a scan of a newspaper article, and she wrote a little caption and said, if you think porno is ubiquitous in the States, listen to this. Turns out the University of Montreal had to cancel a study comparing perceptions of women by men who watch porno versus the perceptions of women by men who've never watched porn. Just a few weeks into it, they had to cancel the whole study because they just, quote, couldn't find a significant sample of the latter. And remember, we're talking about Canada now. Then she sent me a clip from another article that says, PirateBay.com, if you recall, that was a pirating site that was closed down not so long ago and the guys went to jail. It was a torrent site where you could download all kinds of pirated books, movies, and software. Well, it says here that data obtained from the Pirate Bay website during the subsequent investigation determined that one of the largest downloaders of pornographic material was an IP address coming from, get this, within the Vatican. I think we have to insert a drum roll there, huh? Surprised? I'm not. Just try not to imagine the deviant sexual activities those guys with the funny hats like to download. Enough said about that. Moving right along. There's a weekly newsletter that often ends up in my mailbox from a site called Off the Grid News. It's kind of cool in some ways. Or I should say half of it's really cool and the other half's about prepping, which is pretty much ridiculous to my mind. Anyway, today I got one of their newsletters with this big headline. It says, how to build an extremely affordable family bunker. What? Man, if that's where their mindset is at, they've got a long way to go. Of course, you all know my motto is VWYF. That is, vote with your feet. You've got no other choice. Now, most people, to get to that point in your life, you generally have had to have some pretty miserable experiences up in the States, or maybe just one big hallelujah moment. Most likely with Big Brother government or some government agency. Am I right? Now, there was one very smart lady that came to my recent Expat Insider Seminar. In fact, there were many very smart ladies there. She said something that was very interesting. She said, Johnny, I used to be a prepper. I had my basement all fortified. I had enough food for a year, maybe more. First aid stuff, antibiotics. I said, where'd you get that stuff? She said, she ordered it online from veterinary supply houses. Yes, I understand they're the same products for animal and human usage in many, if not most, cases. Anyway, she said, around the year 2000, after some bad experiences with the government, mostly concerning new regs that virtually made it impossible for her to continue her business, she decided she could no longer be a patriot and moved, she said, to the next logical phase. She became a prepper and dove into it head first, bought the shortwave radios, even took gun safety lessons, and joined a shooting club. She's a Christian, devout follower of Alex Jones, subscribed to all the prepper magazines and bought all the books. But she said after Obama got elected for the second term, she started looking at the philosophy of all the prepper friends she had online. And it finally sunk in, she said, when the feces does hit the ventilator, after about 2 or 3 months, it'll be just like a Walking Dead episode. At least, she said, anywhere within a half a gas tank of a big city or a ghetto in the States or Canada. Then she said, you know, Johnny, the more intelligent preppers, the ones that aren't basically breaker-breaker good old boy hillbillies, do have nagging doubts that they mostly keep to themselves. What's going to happen after a couple months? Grid down, ATMs down, martial law and all that? She said, look, that's what prepping's all about, keeping you and your family safe and alive. So she said, Johnny, are you ready for the deluge? I said, what deluge? She said, there's a good percentage of preppers that are about to flip to the boat with your feet mode that you're always talking about. Whoa, when she said that, I was thinking, uh-oh, hope they don't come down and camp out near me. So I was thinking, depending on the time frame of the crash of the next big tipping point, whatever that is, there really could be a big wave of people coming down and voting with their feet. And where do you think they're going to go? Well, she said, the ones she's spoken to about it, the ones that are teetering on the edge, they're thinking the usual suspects we gave up on a long time ago. Mexico, Costa Rica, Belize, Panama, Colombia. Well, just keep that in mind with your own plan B. What's going to happen if, when things really fall apart, they do so with enough time for a lot of people to vote with their feet? Bottom line, select your destination wisely. Think about it. Your destination for your plan B is crucial. If you're thinking about Mexico, Belize, Costa Rica, etc., you're already operating on incomplete and obsolete information. So how do you get the latest and greatest information? How do you get tuned up for that plan B? Well, of course, if all goes as planned, I will have another Expat Insider Seminar, most likely right after the 4th of July, 2017. But that's 6 months away. And in that time frame, any number of tipping points could crash and burn. I don't have to tell you listeners about that. So what can you do in the meantime? Well, study up, read all the newsletters, search the web, read the blogs. Better yet, go to expatplanb.com and check out my Expat Essentials course. If you're still up in Montreal or Cleveland, there's no better way to get your Plan B started. If anything, it'll give you all that much more drive, determination, and confidence, not to mention all the information you'll need to point you in the right direction. Check it out, www.expatplanb.com. So it's that or build that affordable family bunker in your backyard. Man, I have to laugh when I read this. It says, this is every man's security plan for his family. Your own backyard bunker. Number one, he wants it to be hidden in secret. Number two, he wants it to be impossible to break into. Number three, he wants it to be big enough to fit 5 people comfortably. Number four, he wants it to fit enough food and water for 6 months straight. Number five, he wants it to be well ventilated. Number six, he wants it to have a source of renewable energy. Number seven, he wants his bunker to be solid and durable enough to withstand, get this, attacks and terrorists. Yeah, right. So then why don't you just save the 10 or 20 grand, whatever it is, and move your family out of harm's way permanently? Well, like the lady at the seminar said, if you really are a deep-thinking, intelligent person, prepping is just one of those phases you go through along the way to the ultimate plan B, which is vote with your feet. Okay, as promised, I'm going to read some of my hate mail now. Which begs the question, have you ever written any hate mail to anyone? Funny how people who write hate mail always keep listening to you. That's my experience anyway. So, in the interest of privacy, this one comes from Elena with a common Spanish last name. Lives in the States, of course. Now, before I get into this, I just want to say that every time I do one of my expat insider seminars, one of the first things I mention on the very first day is that talking about the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great in Latin America tends to piss off certain Latin people. You just can't tell the truth or tell truthful stories, pointing out many of the defects in their culture and society without insulting someone, because they are living in a third world environment and they know it. And the truth is, upscale Latins especially have a huge inferiority complex. Why do you think they all want to have what I call a pet gringo friend to tag along with them? Basically, after 500 years of being colonized, they still can't seem to build a decent road or a bridge without the help of a first world company. And you really have to live down here a long time to see all these little things for yourself. You know, Elena, who wrote the email, was educated up in the States. She doesn't live in Latin America. So she's 100% American and thinks I'm just picking on a whole culture. She just needs to come down and get boots on the ground and she'll see it for herself. And being from Latin extraction herself, I'm sure when she hears that kind of stuff, it's a bit painful. But for Latins who were born and grew up down here, that inferiority complex runs deep. Latins know that every single thing that makes life easy, every modern convenience, was invented in the first world. Look, if the tables were turned, you might feel the same way too. There you have it. Just a fact. Now I'm sure to get some more hate mail. So again, I announce at my seminars that what I'm going to say is not PC and I'm not going to pull any punches and Latins are not going to like a lot of it. Hey, fair warning, right? After all, as for me, I'm living in a society, a third world Latin society, where everyone wants to be a gringo. They want to be taller, lighter, have clearer eyes and blonde hair, and, if at all possible, live in the U.S. In fact, I've never met a Latin person who didn't think I was a bit crazy for moving to Latin America when the flood of humanity is in the other direction. Matter of fact, when we visit my friend JP at the Maquila part of my expat insider tour, he's a Canadian gringo, one of the first things he announces when he speaks to my group, he says, "You know what? My entire workforce thinks you are crazy. When Johnny brings his groups through here, they think, why in the hell are these gringos coming down here when we'd give anything to live in the States?" He tells my group that his workers just think it's absolutely crazy. They can't get over it. Okay, that said, let's do this email. She starts, "Hello, Johnny. Is there anything you like about Latinos? Or do you just live there because the climate is good? You can get a cheap maid, prices are lower, and you can live off the grid." Okay, here's my answer to that first part. Yes, there's a lot of things I really like, even love, about Latinos. They're warm, friendly, real, and genuine. Except maybe for the top 5% extreme gringo wannabes who've got money and some position in power. They're not real. They're extremely plastic. But you know you got that in the States too, right? Not to mention they're hardworking, undemanding, very family-oriented, loyal, except, of course, for men in the love and romance department. And last but not least, they can make do and be happy with very little compared to, well, you and I. Okay, then Elena says, "Johnny, if you were a true libertarian, you would think that no government should tell someone where they could not live, instead of being so bigoted about undocumented immigrants." Okay, let me answer that. First of all, they're not undocumented. They're illegal. They've broken laws. And to remain in the States, they have to continually break laws, get fake IDs, forge documents, continually lie, which in no way fulfills the definition of a good citizen in any country. Oh, and by the way, I am totally and completely for open borders if welfare and food stamps didn't exist. As my old German grandma used to say, in the old West, they didn't have food stamps. You worked and made your way, or you went back home and lived with mama. Man, that says it all, doesn't it? All right, then Elena continues, "Johnny, you could be a much more decent human being if you would just let go of some of that arrogance and racism. So what if they're illegal? Well, there are many laws on the books which have been immoral, such as the fact that marijuana is illegal, and it was illegal for black people to sit in the front of the bus. There wouldn't be so many Mexicans and other Latinos coming across if the United States had not stolen half of Mexico under the banner of Manifest Destiny. If your Gabacho ancestors had not wanted to create more slave states by grabbing Texas and the rest of the Southwest, the Civil War might not have occurred. Then Mexico would have more land for its people. Okay, here's what I'd say if Elena was sitting right across the coffee table from me. You know, for 160,000 years, ever since Homo sapiens roamed the earth, men, not women, have been invading and stealing land. In fact, I'll never forget an old illustrated geography book I once checked out from the Chicago Library. It had a section with around 50 transparencies in it that you just lay one over another. They were transparencies of Europe since the golden age of the Roman Empire, all the way up through the end of World War II. And you know what? If you picked one country, any country in Europe, pick Italy or Poland or Austria, for example. Did you know that in that time frame, the land borders significantly changed in each country at least 50 times, while some countries disappeared altogether? Yep. At one time, every single European country made multiple land claims against other European countries based on previous wars and conquests. Bottom line, nobody and everybody can say that another country was stolen or overrun by somebody else. You can't just look at today's map, a snapshot in time, and say, well, this land was overrun or stolen by this country. The entire landscape of the world is continuously changing. Someone's always fighting and overrunning someone else. Hey, have a look at Africa and tell me how many wars of genocide and territory are going on right now. Then, Elena says, I do agree with you, Johnny, that the Mexican government has not done its job. Because if the people were given the tools of education and employment opportunity, people would not want to risk their lives coming to a country where they are not wanted and where they are subject to discrimination and humiliation. Okay, just a word there. You know, the Irish and the Jews and the Polish, Italians, Japanese, Koreans, even people from India and Pakistan, all came to the U.S. subject to a great deal more prejudice and humiliation than you describe. How are they faring now, may I ask? Top of the heap, right? No glass ceiling for them. Why, they adopted their new customs, ditched their bad habits within one or two generations, and therefore assimilated into the American mainstream completely. How'd that happen? Meanwhile, you've got two, even three generations of Latinos in the States that can't even speak English. In fact, they don't have to. Okay, then Elena's email says, maybe, Johnny, when your buddy, the Donald, starts World War III, his wall will serve as protection for Mexico from the hordes of gringos wanting to escape to the south. His wall, for the most part, will keep out honest workers, but it will not keep out the traffickers, because where there's a market, there'll be a supplier. There's no walls that can keep the mafia from doing its business. Now, when he deports millions of undocumented immigrants, wait, let's stop a second. Elena, you must not have listened to too many of my shows, because I've said a number of times the last person I ever voted for was Ross Perot. You know, he of the great big sucking sound. The fact is, I refuse to vote because voting means you have faith in the system as it stands. You believe it actually works. It doesn't. Nope, they're all corrupt, pustulant carbuckles to me. Hillary being the worst slimeful pus bag of all. And Trump, how do I view him? Well, let's just say he's riding the train now, a train that he didn't build, a train that's heading for a cliff. Now, for a while, I thought it was O'Vomit who was going to ride it off the cliff, but somehow they kicked the can down the road enough, so it'll be Trump who goes down in the history books with that honor, just like Herbert Hoover caught the blame for the Depression. So whichever way you vote, you're voting for the lesser of two evils, but you're still voting for evil. Don't like giving evil a foothold myself, though the whole country is pretty much in the hands of sociopaths now. By the way, if you look at who Trump has picked for his cabinet positions, he picked mostly guys right out of the lion's den, Wall Street, big corrupt banksters. Surprised? I'm not. Every one of them a malignant, parasitic scumbag. And again, I mean that in the nicest, most Christian way. Oh, and if you think it was any different way back when, listen to this. Did you know that when George Washington first ran for the Virginia House of Burgesses, he supplied 164 gallons of alcohol to the 396 voters. He won. Also, did you know that if adjusted for inflation, the richest president in the history of the U.S. was not Trump, but George Washington. Anyway, Elena continues, Trump deports millions of undocumented immigrants. The cost of food and everything else will go way, way up because gringos won't do the work that Latins will do. All right, how about this for an answer? When I was a kid, I was 14 years old before I ever met a Latino. It was a Mexican named, funny enough, Johnny Gonzalez. Was a very good guitar player, and I invited him to be in my rock and roll band. Like I said, never met a Latino till then. In fact, back then, very few Latinos in Chicago at all. I wish Elena would have asked me that question way back when. I mean, who did all that low-class, ever-demeaning work way back when there were hardly any Latinos around? It didn't get done, right? Wrong. Young kids like me and average adults did the menial labor. The grunt work. Yep, it got done all right. And if they threw every illegal immigrant out of the U.S., it would still get done. And I bet a hell of a lot more people would be off welfare and food stamps. Yep, believe it or not, for the three-month summer between my high school graduation and my entrance into freshman and college, I was a Chicago garbage man. Of course, they called it Chicago back then. And guess what? There wasn't a single Latino on the crew. Then Elena says, you could be a very likable person if you were not such a racist. I do find your programs interesting, though, and sometimes disgusting, too. By the way, I'm not undocumented myself. I was born here in the States, but I would love to live in Mexico. I have the advantage that I know the language and I love the Latino culture, although I guess Latino culture can mean many things to many people. Finally, Johnny, you mentioned how Latinos see Walmart and Sam's as a status symbol and how they imitate everything American. Unfortunately, the middle class seems to have appropriated these attitudes from television. For me, this is sad and unfortunate when people do not value their own culture. Fortunately, not all Latinos are on that bandwagon. Hey, Elena, I'm with you on that one. U.S. cable TV has made it down to Latin America in a big way. They got 300 channels now. Yep, the same old putrid crap you get up in the States, only it's translated into Spanish. By the way, Elena, I've been called almost everything. A liberal, a conservative, bigot, a racist, sexist, Zionist, Semite, anti-Semite. But just don't call me a Democrat, Republican, communist, socialist, and definitely not a Mormon, Jehovah's Witness, or Scientologist. Now that would hurt my feelings.
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.